cold of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on. Break the distance between you and me. There's a list of grievances 100 miles long. There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. Today, it's the 3rd of October 2007. For newcomers, as always, I ask them to look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com to catch up on what's been happening in the world, how we got to where we are and where we're going, who's planning it, who's doing it, and how we'll go along with it and why we go along with it. Also look into alanwattsentinel.eu for downloadable transcripts in the various languages of Europe. It's a hard thing for people when they wake up to realize that most of the things they ever believed in were given to them by experts. Experts come in many guises. And we've been trained from birth that you have priestly experts, you have ministerial experts, you have medical experts, experts for everything. In other words, you don't have to think for yourself. You can't even watch a news program without them bringing on experts to tell you how to dress for the weather or put on a raincoat if it's raining. It's getting that bad. Or a hurricane's on its way, here's what you should do, store water to drink. I mean, are we that stupid? We have to be told what to do for basic survival. Well, unfortunately, you see, a lot of people today are. They need the experts to tell them what to do. Just coming up through Sudbury there, there's a whole 2-mile stretch of billboard after billboard from the police. Some of them telling you about all the speeding fines and so much per kilometer you get charged, etc. And then it's got all these other signs too. Speed kills. If you're tired, slow down, take a rest. I mean, people, and someone pointed this out to me, some people really need this. They actually have to be told to pull over and take a rest because they can't think of it for themselves. That's the world we've been trained into accepting. A world planned long ago. Everything happening today was planned long ago, including the system that would rule over us, a system of experts and batteries of experts, all with various diplomas and degrees, down to their knees, and were trained to obey them without thinking or questioning. And that really is the outcome of the socialist-type society, a society of mass man rule. Society that was written about by the top people and professors at the leading universities in London in the 1800s. They knew it was going to come to pass because they worked for the big boys that told them to make it so. And they wrote about it. And that was the days of the Industrial Revolution when you had mass production and people were you stopped looking at people as individuals. You saw them as the masses. They were the workers. And there was categories of workers, the lower classes, the middle classes to take care of the lower classes and serve the upper classes. All these different classes came into being. And I used to wonder why Britain got on so well with India, with the big Brahmins of India. So I realized that the caste system was identical to the class system of England. I'll be back after these following messages.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi, Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix. Just going through some of the changes that happened from the old feudal system, where for 1,000 years, Norman overlords had ran Europe on behalf of their kings and queens, their masters, how they divvied up countries and put these overlords in charge. There was a very good movie made, it must have been back in the 1960s with Charlton Heston, and it was called Warlord. Well worth seeing because it was pretty factual. They took a lot of data from history and they showed you how the Normans operated. They were some of the cruelest people ever to take over countries, and they treated the peasantry terribly, very abominably. And we find that the feudal system lasted a long time. It's interesting, too, that the Normans came in to England eventually, and within about 50 years, they had rounded up the people, formed armies, and they had them all going off to do crusades into the Middle East. And no one ever questions that. First, they have a war. They take over the whole of Europe and all the manpower and resources of Europe. And once they'd done it, hardly a few years had passed, and here they are taking all this wealth and manpower going over to the Middle East. to conquer it, where they did in fact set up a king of Israel for a time, whose descendants still are alive today, in fact, and one of them who helped create the European Union. But getting back to the end of the feudal system, they came up with this idea of the mass man. They started to see, stopped seeing the peasants as just the local peasantry, where at least they knew their name, and they looked upon them as the masses. The corn laws were repealed to allow foreign grain to be dumped on the British market to get all the small farmers out of the way. They had no employment, no work. And then they were forced into the big industrial cities that had just been thrown up, the red brick cities, as they were called. And the big horses and carts that used to cart people off during plagues were used all throughout the industrial era in Britain to collect the dead every morning, because people were paid pitiful wages and they were all malnourished and they worked a minimum of 16 hours per day. That was merry old England at the height of its power. And this system is usually called sort of fascist type system. And we still have it today. Fascism, as I say, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and acts like a duck, it's a duck. And that's what we have today, is fascism, corporate fascism. And Professor Carl Quigley said it right when he said that the new feudal system, the new type of feudal system, is to be run by the CEOs of the big international corporations. When we look at politicians today, sure enough, they're in and out of the positions of CEOs, and then into politics, then back in as CEOs. They do this musical chair act and routine, and we just accept it quite calmly. We notice, too, that the big, big stores that they've thrown up all across the whole planet, in every country, these big factory-type stores were intended to put all the small store owners out of business, and they really have been successful. The small store owner cannot compete. He can't buy in bulk and get the reduced prices of certain items. So he goes under, and you're left with the big boys dictating to you what you can buy. You don't have the variety that you used to have. During the industrial era, as I say, the masses were called the masses for the first time, at least openly. And Karl Marx wrote about it. He was just a hack journalist that was thrown out of Germany and given employment by the Rothschilds and the British royalty to write The Dialectic, which was to create a system where the workers, who would eventually get their own champion if left by themselves, were given champions to follow. That's how the dialectic works. They give us our leaders. They voice all our complaints for us. We sit back and we say, well, someone's doing it all for me. I'll just enjoy myself. That still happens today with all the top authorized anti-groups. Personally, I like the old Groucho Marx statement. It says, whatever it is, we're against it. That's what I go with. He also said, I wouldn't join any group that had me as a member. I go for that as well. And when we look at these groups that are founded for us, as we think it's for us, just like the big unions were founded for supposedly the workers, the unions eventually ended up in bed with the big employers and helped write all the rules on behalf of the employers. The unions are effectively pretty well dead today. Communism itself was only intended to last about 70 years. Lenin said that himself. Well, some of us have witnessed it. We saw the so-called wall in Berlin come down, and the Russians just threw up their hands and says, well, we can't carry on anymore. We're changing. And we're all supposed to swallow this guff, as I call it, without question, because that's all it is. It's complete guff. Then we saw Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of England, escorting Gorbachev around the world on speaking tours. And the media in Britain and the US and Canada all went into action asking Mrs. Gorbachev about her lipstick, her makeup, and listening to the fascinating fact that in Russia you couldn't get a loaf of bread to eat if you're a peasant, but you could walk into a store and get a facelift for free, paid for by the government. All wonderful, interesting stuff from the ex-member of the high member, the top guy in the KGB, remember, because that's what Mr. Gorbachev was. But suddenly he was a trendy guy, a new type of Politburo character with a flashy suit, not these old dark rumpled stuffs we used to see them wearing in Russia. And then they did polls in the U.S. and in Britain, but mainly in the U.S., to ask the public, after a month of this propaganda as Gorbachev rode around on the arm of Margaret Thatcher, if they would ever vote for a guy like Gorbachev, this new trendy type communist. And they found about 80% of the public says they wouldn't mind. Well, that tells you where the public's brain happens to be, and it truly is where the sun don't shine. That's this kind of job that the media can do on people. 6 months after Gorbachev went back, it was reported in a little paragraph in major newspapers that all the media had agreed not to ask any pertinent or political questions to do with Russia to the president or his wife on his visits. So there's the compliant media that's standing up for you and is on guard for you. They were all in bed together. Well, they've always been in bed together, and they always will be in bed together, because the media is owned by the big boys, lock, stock, and barrel. If you don't believe me, read Professor Carl Quigley's Tragedy and Hope and his other great book, which is called The Anglo-American Establishment, which fills in all the blank bits of history that you don't get in school. He tells you of how the elite with the Royal Institute for International Affairs all sat together in a round table in London before World War II and discussed ways of terrifying the public to motivate them into demanding a war with Germany. And they came up with the idea of using their own members who owned all the newspapers in Britain to terrify them by saying they were all going to be gassed by thousands and thousands of stockpiled gas that the Germans were going to fly over Britain with and release. And they went as far as giving everyone in Britain a gas mask, which they had to, by law, carry at all times, just to make sure. That's a Pavlovian training, you see. First the lie, then the reinforcement backs it up, using psychology. And they even got the king at the time to come out and make public speeches on how they had to dig trenches all around London, the idea being that all passers-by would see this going on, and the idea of imminent war that could not be averted would have to be fought, and the public should get on board, on track, and in line with fighting Germany. He admits this all in his book. And remember, he had access to the private records. He was the historian for the American branch of this organization called the Council on Foreign Relations at the Pratt Building in New York. The building, which was occupied in London, England, ended up being the top, the headquarters for MI6 and the Secret Service, the OSS, during the whole of the war. And no one asked why the headquarters of this particular organization, which became the CIA eventually in the US and the Secret Service in Britain, no one asked why they had it in that particular building belonging to the Royal Institute for International Affairs. It's because the Royal Institute for International Affairs at the top is a member of the Secret Service. That's what it is. You'll find almost every reporter, every journalist, mainstream, is a member of this particular organization. You can't ask to join it. You will be approached to join it. How are you approached? Well, you learn the ropes very quickly, as in all jobs. Learn to not ask certain questions when you're told, when you're given the wink and the nod. And you keep on the safe topics. You talk about sports and clothing and sex and little scandals and that type of thing, but don't tell the public the truth. If you obey the rules, you get up Jacob's ladder, you get promoted, and one day, if you're trustworthy and you've been tested and tried and true, then you may be asked to join. And then you write more lies for the public and keep them in the dark. That's the job of the media. We're living in a matrix that was designed long before I was born, or your parents were born, or the grandparents were born, because all of the psychologies, all of the intricacies of the control of mass manipulation of human minds was discussed in great detail from the 1700s onwards.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich, that's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi, Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix. And just before I get off, the Royal Institute for International Affairs and Professor Carl Quigley's book, The Anglo-American Establishment, where he fills in all the little blank spots in history. I mean, he gives you the reasons why things happened, not just the times and battles, etc. He tells you who plans them, how they planned them, how they got wars going, who benefited from them, and their long-term goals and agendas. But he also explains in that book that all the talk about gassing the British public was a lie. They knew it from the beginning that excellent intelligence, they simply made it up to motivate the whole population of Britain into demanding that somebody do something about the Germans. That's how they get things going. Now, how often have we seen this kind of stuff repeated, folks? Huh? We get the same thing going on today with 9/11. The dust hadn't even cleared from the building, and already the shouts of Osama bin Laden were all over the place. It was him that did it. They just knew it. And look at all the preparations and all the changes that have happened since 9/11. The whole world's been changed under a complete full-scale war situation where everybody on the planet is to be ID'd and checked and have no privacy whatsoever. In other words, they're using this for a long-term agenda. 100 years' war, and out of that 100 years' war, there's going to be a completely new type of society, a more efficient society emerging, supposedly. This ties right in with their plans. So they needed this war. They planned this war, and they have it. The war is on the people of the planet right now. Now, I think there's someone in New York. It's hard to hear there. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, I just been listening, and I can't help but think that cultures of the world are not, you know, instead of being something to identify with, it's more like a culture in a petri dish getting experimented on big time.
Well, that's what we are. In fact, the experimentation has gone on pretty rapidly and intensively over the last couple of 100 years. And people don't realize that. The school systems themselves, many teachers in different schools in every country were used to do little experiments on the children themselves to see how they would react in certain situations. And all this kind of data is reported back to the big intelligence services, who use this data on bigger levels, on bigger parts of the population. And so we are being experimented on. The only difference is, though, the experimentation is pretty well over. They understand us completely, and they know how to motivate us. They brought in the big marketing companies, mainly the ones from New York,
yeah,
that existed in the 1920s. And they had already, to get marketing across, to advertise to people, you have to understand what motivates people. And Lord Bertrand Russell said that they would have to bring them on board and use all of their collective data to manipulate the public. So you're quite right.
Yeah, everything seems to be trying to get standardized.
Standardization. You see, fascism, which is all to do with ultimate efficiency of the masses by a small elite ruling over them, has to standardize everything to make it simpler for them. When you standardize countries into using all the same system, and that's what communism was for too. Communism is the fastest way to get the people to fight for something, come together for something, believing it was for themselves, only to find out 70 years later that they'd brought in, communism brought in dozens and dozens of different cultures with different systems and made them all one and the same, including the educational system. It was the quickest way to standardize it. And now you have the standardization of the Middle East. They must bring them under control as well, get them on the debt system of the World Bank system. And then, of course, we also already have UNESCO in Afghanistan and in Iraq training the young children who will be the first real indoctrinated democratic leaders as when they grow up to take charge. So this is a long-term agenda that's underway.
So they could even already have the new man ready, and we're already on a clock at 30. Like, they already know when we're all going to probably perish and bring out the new man.
The old man, and that's just what they mean by that, that they will perfect all that was left imperfect. A very old, old ancient saying by an elite of ancient times, still used today. And what they're talking about is really the ordinary person, the laborer type, the servant or servile type. We still have that little bit of motivation to please ourselves. They don't like that. They don't like a little bit of individualization. And so they have to do away with that part of the brain. This is what was written about, too, by Arthur Koestler, who worked in think tanks for the UN to find ways of lobotomizing that part of the brain that makes you an individual. They call it the ghost in the machine.
I'm sure they could do it.
Oh, they can do it. They have been doing it through inoculations. People today are really the mass man. They become the mass man. They don't have individuality. I'll be back after the following messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Everybody knows that today's a loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi, Alan Watt back with Cutting Through the Matrix. And just before I go on to my callers, I'd like to mention the Club of Rome being one of the premier think tanks that makes up the future, makes up a lot of the scams that we'll all have to be made to believe are real. And I've mentioned before their book, one of their major books they put out in the 1970s by the two founders of the Club of Rome, and they admit so much in it. And the book is called The First Global Revolution. Well worth getting a hold of. You can get it on Amazon or one of the other companies for about 75 cents paperback. And here's a couple of quotes from it. It would seem that men and women need a common motivation, namely a common adversary, to organize and act together in the vacuum such as motivation seemed to have ceased to exist or have yet to be found. The need for enemies seems to be a common historical factor. Well, they're quite right. You see, they always give us enemies, and we all pool together to fight the enemy, and then we go off in some strange direction, and a bunch of people at the top get very, very rich. That's what happens, and that's what wars are really for, to change society, as Carol Quigley said. All sides that participate in the war find that their societies are vastly changed afterwards. Here's another little quote from them. Bring the divided nation together to face an outside enemy, either a real one or else one invented for the purpose. Now, here in this think tank, they were finding ways to unify the planet, remember? And these guys are not kidding. They come up with all of this kind of stuff and market it to us through magazines, papers, and through television media. Another little quote is, democracy will be made to seem responsible for the lagging economy, the scarcity and uncertainties. The very concept of democracy could then be brought into question and allow for the seizure of power by extremists of one brand or the other. Now, don't forget that if you read books by Winston Churchill and others, and a book written by a diplomat, it was called The Whispering Gallery, he goes into the fact that Churchill and all those boys were rather ticked off, to say the least, about this new idea of democracy, and that they'd have to find parallel ways to run a governmental system, a democratic sham for the public to believe in, while they themselves would have a parallel government running it. Read the book, I think it was written about 1925. Another little quote from this book, The First Global Revolution by the Club of Rome. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Now, there you go. The real enemy is made to be man himself, and that's exactly what's happened with the man who gores us all, Al Gore at the top, the front man who's been given the job of promoting all this nonsense, along with all the other greenies of terror, 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 the sky is falling. In a sense, they're right, because we're being sprayed every day, but they won't talk about that either, will they? So read the book, The First Global Revolution, published in 1991, in fact, by the Club of Rome and by its members, its actual founders. And in the Club of Rome, you'll find Al Gore is a member, Jimmy Carter is a member, Bill Gates is a member, George Soros, the frontman for the Rothschilds, and the author of the Kyoto Protocols, Maurice Strong from Canada. So these are the big makers and shakers of the world. Quigley talks about these characters in his book, Tragedy and Hope, and the Anglo-American establishment. He said, those who work behind the powers and who are unelected have really unlimited powers. These are the real movers and shakers, because they are responsible to no one. They don't have to answer to the general public. And that's what these big boys do with the organizations that they lead. We have to wake up to realize we're being run with a parallel government comprised and composed of NGOs, very powerful non-governmental organizations that have skyscraper buildings for their headquarters and lots of floors, full-time salaries, and pensions. Now, I think we got Dan from Kentucky on the line. Are you there, Dan?
How are you tonight?
Not so bad.
Good. I have two questions, and then I'm going to hang up so we can listen, please. The first one is, we saw the second Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage,
yep.
And they mentioned how it compared to the first one, which we can't get, but they changed into a matriarchy from a patriarchy, and it sounded like the director knew what was going on and was probably Illuminati himself are trying to cover things up. But they mentioned all the trees and flowers in there, and you mentioned Ashcroft and other tree symbolisms. And I'm wondering if it would be possible to make a blueprint or a flow chart of the 22 trees in the Druid alphabet that Robert Graves said was the basis for the Kabbalah, and also to list all the personality psychopathic types so that people could have a blueprint, because they're arrogant and legalistic, and they give clues to their symbols, and that way people could see a name and figure out and know what their mission was in the plan. And then the second question is, if you would please mention the psychology of killing author. We found three books, but they're not the ones that you mentioned, and maybe it's out of print. And I'm going to hang up now so we can listen. And thanks for all your wonderful work.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, you find that the guy's names that they use, very often these family names are related to the old mystery religion, as they called it, which went around the Tree of Life. You find the same idea in the death of Osiris and Osiris in Egypt, that was cut up into 14 parts. 13 parts were found. That's why 13 is lucky for some, unlucky for others, high occultic number. But the 14th part was never found. And they're talking about the virility behind the phallus symbol, the spirit itself of the phallus. That's what they mean by that. They rewrote that into the story of King Arthur, when he lost his spirit and the land became wasteland. It's the same story repeated in the occultic fashion, where there's an exoteric for the general public to be amused by and an esoteric meaning for the inner members. So you find that their names often go around trees. And we find Osiris himself in one legend. His wife found him inside a tree. He'd been placed inside a tree, the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life, of course, is comprised of scions. The word scion in its spoken form, forget the spelling, also means a cutting that's grafted on to another plant. And when you've risen high above the commoners and you've proven your worth and you've intermarried for three generations with wives that have been given to you and your sons, then you are allowed to go higher up the degrees. You become a scion and you are grafted onto the Tree of Life, meaning you can marry from then on in into higher royalty. That's where that comes from. So they use words like ash in their names very commonly, the ashlar too being the perfectly squared stone. A round stone is a rolling stone, which is a natural stone, but when it's squared and perfected, it's now able to be used as a building block. You can place others on top. That's what it means. You build from that one on. You can't build on top of round stones unless you use a lot of cement. And they use words like Rowan. Like Rowan Oaks was the place in the U.S. that was settled early on, before there was a U.S. itself. It was still under British rule. And that was the place that disappeared. Nothing left except the sign. That meant the red oaks, the Rowan. And we find, too, the mountain ash is very important, because it's also called a Rowan ash, the red one. You find this symbology all down through their names, like Bill Gates. He's a gatekeeper. What is he? What was a gatekeeper? It's someone really who allows entrance and the exit of knowledge. That's what it's about. And what's his job? Well, he's in charge of the windows. Which window? It's a window of opportunity. A window can also be two-way, can let light through in both directions, or it can be made to be a one-way, like a one-way mirror. These are where you get all the expressions that we commonly use, and we don't even know what we're saying half the time. They're highly occultic, and you can go into the histories of these people, and you'd be amazed. Even the royal family of Britain, their proper name is Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. They were Prussian, as all of the European royalty are from. They're from Prussia, really. That's where the fascism itself was born. It was a militaristic race they had, and they brought on World War I. These were the guys that loved to have swording duels amongst officers, and all had scars on their cheeks as a sign of manhood. And so the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha family were fighting Germany in World War I, and because of the propaganda, it wasn't too good to have the Prussians in charge of England as your royalty, so they picked an old name from King Henry VIII's day, from the Tudor days, and called it Windsor, just to fool the British people, so that it sounded more English. But these people, yes, they are. They're very proud of their names. Gotha is very important, too, from the old Goth. And you have the Saxe and Coburg as well, the three main areas in Prussia that they used to rule, the three houses of Prussia and Greater Germany. But you, as I say, you'll find that in all the names of the main players, there's occultic meanings, especially when the same dynasties take part in great movements to change society down through many generations. check into their names, and you'll find ties to nature, because in one sense they call it the god of nature, that which they worship, and they use symbols from nature. They did the same thing when of the white stone cutters, they called the high stonemasons that built the cathedrals in Europe. These were actually a priestly caste of nature lovers, you might call them, and that's why they used the symbols of nature, the high arches of the branches and the boughs to make the big domes inside cathedrals and so on. They were emulating nature and perfecting it at the same time with the use of sacred geometry, as they called it. They also had an initiation ceremony for these high white-cutting stonemasons, and they were called the Comosines, by the way. They came from Lake Como in Italy, northern Italy, and they used to wear a red thread tied around their genitals. That was a symbol where they could recognize each other, although I don't know how they managed to get around to exposing it, mind you, without getting a slap in the face. But they had some method of showing this red thread to their friends, and that was something they were that they wear their entire lives. You'll find a similar thing with Ulster, where all the laws that Britain had passed through their delegations in Ulster, every one of the laws that they passed was tied up in a scroll with a red ribbon. Red is very important, and that's why you'll find the British military, their officers wear a red band around their hats. Very, very important as well. The Wicker Man itself, the first Wicker Man, went into more the nature worship type thing, the promiscuity of nature in a story form. Highly occultic. It was better, really, I think, than the second one. The second one surely has been updated to show you a matriarchal system, because they said at the top, and Hitler said this, and Hitler was only quoting one of the old Caesars who used it in ancient Rome. He said, all our propaganda must be aimed at the female, because all psychologists know, by the way, that it's much easier to influence the female to change in society, to try something new, than it is the male. And they also knew that the female, by her nature, wants security, and or the promise of security. So Hitler said, we shall aim all our propaganda at the female. The female will come to us. And she said, the child must follow the woman, and therefore must follow the man. So you alter society by directing a lot of your propaganda, especially during wartime and threats of annihilation or food scarcity or starvation. You aim that at the woman, and she'll come to you. But it also goes back to the Garden of Eden, because the Garden of Eden is an allegory of how to control both male and female. When you understand the psychology of Eve, who is every woman, remember, then you can manipulate it, because what did she want? She wanted immortality for her personal beauty. She wanted to live forever, and she wanted all knowledge. She wanted it all, which was impossible in real life. Therefore, when she's got that proneness to that, you can exploit that particular function and create a dysfunctional system at the right time. And that has been done in today's society. Adam doesn't say much for Adam, because what does Adam do? He does what he's told by Eve, because of other reasons that Adam might tell you himself, but I'm sure every guy's been the same at some time or another. He does what he's told. In order to keep Eve, he disobeys the rules and ends up suffering for it. Understand the male and the female, and you can manipulate both types, because up until now, we really haven't changed much in the near future. Well, actually, we're all changing now. We're all being bioengineered with the spraying and inoculations and the food that's been altered. But the next generations to come up in the near future will be vastly different. In fact, they're going to do away with the hermaphrodite or the male-female altogether and create a new self-reproducing type. In fact, they've said themselves, it's simply too inefficient to have men and women the way they are. There's too much fighting and squabbling. They've seen to that. In fact, they help cause it. There's nothing given to you through entertainment that makes you feel good about anything, except that you want this person that you see on television or on that screen, if you're a guy, and the woman will say the same for the hero. She'll be after him. Television is meant to make you tremendously dissatisfied with whoever you happen to be with at the time. Now, I think we also have Gavin from Rhode Island on the phone. Are you there, Gavin?
Hello? Yes, hello, Alan.
Hello.
Yeah, always great shows. I want to ask you about what you think. Did you hear this case where the woman became angry in the U.S. about missing a connecting flight, and she was putting the whole holding cell where she was handcuffed and chained, and she ended up dying? Did you hear about that case?
I didn't hear about that, no.
Oh, yeah. What happened was this woman at an airport, obviously, and she missed a connecting flight, and she became angry about it. And she was like an older woman, you know. She was a mother of two or three or something like that. I don't think really any danger, but she came angry about missing a connecting flight. And the airport police put her in a holding cell, and they handcuffed and chained her to the bench. And then, I don't know, she tried to do to get the handcuffs from the back to the front.
Hold there, and I'll bring you back after the break here. I'll bring you back after the break, back after the phone messages.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich, that's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Hi, I'm back with Cutting Through the Matrix, and we're talking to Gavin about an incident that happened at an airport where a woman was handcuffed and eventually was found dead, I think, in her cell. Is that what happened, Gavin?
Yeah, so anyway, this woman, she became angry after missing her connecting flight. So the airport police put her in a holding cell where they handcuffed and chained her to the bench, which I find unreal. But anyway, evidently from trying to move the handcuffs and chains from the back of her to the front of her, she strangled herself. She ended up dying. But my main question is, does this seem to you that it's this heightened sense of authoritarianism where, you know, we're just all supposed to act like sheeple? Anyone who gets slightly out of line, something like this,
yeah,
you know, is treated this way in this, you know, sort of Orwellian 1984 Brave New World type of system and world.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's a conditioning process because they'll make sure that the public get to know more about it. They'll have exposés on it and say, tut, tut, how terrible. But at the same time, it's really conditioning everyone to obey, and or this could happen to you. And I've no doubt whatever inquiry they pretend to have, will have come up with no guilt on the guard's parts. They'll blame her for starting it in the first place and trying to get out of the cuffs, etc., and strangling herself in the process. In other words, they'll make whatever story will suit them. They'll make it up and give that to the public. The intent is to terrify the public, and you'll find more and more incidences of these things happening to make us all obey like good little sheeple.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like to me.
Yep.
I just want to get your take on it, that, you know, exactly like you said, is conditioning us to just all act like cogs in the wheel, like the sheeple,
yep,
just do what you're supposed to do, all this type of thing, submit, obey, and if you get out of line in the least way, this is going to happen to you. You know, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be handcuffed and chained in a holding cell. I mean, as I said, seems totally outrageous to me. I mean, I don't think this would have happened, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
No, it would not have happened, no. But they've given the people a splurge of enjoyment, easy credit, enjoy, have fun, and they've been moving very quickly and cautiously, too, with their agenda during that phase while everybody was gorging themselves on such easy credit. So before 30 years or 30 years ago, they could never have done that to the public. There would have been riots to try to take their rights and freedoms away from them.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a dramatic change. I mean, I was just talking to someone today. I mean, even 40, 50 years ago, you've probably heard about the two U.S. Border Patrol agents who were jailed for basically doing their job.
Yeah, I know about that. But that's finishing for tonight. That's the music coming up.
Okay.
And I'll be calling again next time for Hamish and myself in Ontario, Canada. It's good night to me, your God, or your gods go with you.
With recent